Okay. Now everybody can sing the same tune here with the minimum. Andrew, are you good with it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's it's fact. It defines your practice. That way, you're not saying John handles 4 million, Will handles 2 million. You're saying this is what our practice is. We all work out of the same with the same minimum. Now, as I do the math here, you gave me 165 clients. That includes the contractual people, and the number you gave me last week and the number of clients was 191. Are there still people that need to go to the Wealth Advisory Center?
Sorry, yeah. they can't go till August.
I know, but they're in the 165. Will said he was having 195.
I don't think John was counting the retired brokers, the soon to be retired brokers' families.
Okay, here's what I would go into these lists. And I just want to I've gotten the information I need. We've established the minimum. As you look at the bottom of each of your lists, you said you have three different lists. Do it by assets. Do you see anybody in there that you don't know that should be out of your practice?
Yes, I have a lot of them. That was Will speaking. So, yes, I have, with that specific book with the retiring broker, there are a number of him that he has accumulated over his career that are, I mean, I'm looking at probably, I don't even know, I'm going to say 30 or 40 that are below $200,000 with an ROA of like 10 to 15 bips. They're not good accounts that we do not want to have.
Well, here's my question. I'm not asking it very well. I don't want there to be anybody in the practice that's not accounted for. Either they're assigned to one of the three of you, they're in the contractual group, or they're going to go to Wealth Advisor. I just want everybody to be accounted for so they're not popping up and gumming up your works.
So I'm going to so we can move on this. In August or within the next year, I'm telling you over 75 or 80 are going to be gone.
Good.
I have 50
right.
people. Andrew has 20. Andrew has capacity. I have any capacity that goes for me would go to Andrew or Will. Will is going to have it by the end. And, again, I don't even want to talk about these stupid people anymore because it's not worth the time. Is Will's going to have anywhere from 50 to 75 people that are going to be pushed down the pike to him. Those other people, they're just taking up – I mean, they're nice people – we just have to get rid of them. So I understand where you're coming from, but you got to. By the time we're done with Supernova, they will be gone. That's my commitment to you.
And that's the commitment I'm looking for, John. The reason that I harp on it is all I can do is apply my experience to what you're talking about. Is people make the commitment and then they intend to do it, and the people hang around, and all of a sudden it's RMD time and all that stuff, and. They're clogging up the works.
You're right.
That's why I harp on it. In Rob Neff's book, the number one reason for people not getting what they want out of Supernova is not aggressively have segmented their practice. I got it. I believe you. I'm ready to move on too. All right.
Yep.
Your ideal client. That CPA I talked about before calls Andrew and says, I got somebody to give to you. Tell me what your ideal client looks like, which is never a bad question to ask of your CPAs that you work with, what's your ideal client look like. And your ideal client is made up of your minimum, we've covered that, and the soft issues that you enjoy in your best clients. John, think of one of your favorite clients. You got them in your head?
Mm-hmm.
Well, give me some of the soft issues that make that client an enjoyable client.
Well, first of all, I like the thing the way they described it on page 22 is how I feel. Looking at my best clients, I think they're very smart. They do what we tell them to do. I think they appreciate our services. There's never an issue about fees, and we're their trusted advisor. And that's our pretty much our goal for everybody, and they're more than willing to refer people. It sounds simple, but I can't think of anyone in my 50 people that I would get rid of if someone would pay me for it.
All right. So that going back to our friend the CPA, tell me what the client looks like, what your practice looks like. Our ideal client has a minimum of $2 million. You walk through the $4 million come in. They're smart. They follow our advice. They're not reluctant to refer people to us, and they are willing to pay for value. I think that sounds better, John, than don't argue about fees. I don't want to bring fees into it. Fees are the easiest thing to quantify and the least important of any relationship. So that's your ideal client. Make sense?
Yes.
All right. All right. Let's talk about going to your clients and talking to them about the refinements in your practice. The way I sent you something last week. It's called Points to Make with Retained Clients. If you don't have it, don't worry about it. You can go back and get it. But I want you to begin to have you. I want to prepare for having conversations with your clients and telling them what you are doing. You all are not changing your practice. You're refining the practice. And the way that conversation, and this is part of getting people on the schedule. You go to them, tell them what you're doing. And it can be something like this. Over the past, on a regular basis, we take a step back and look at our practice to see if there are things that we can do better, we can refine, and we've been doing that over the last couple of weeks. We've decided to make some important refinements. Do you have a minute for me to tell you about them?
We're actually incorporating with the year-end meetings with everyone, either a year-end call or a year-end meeting, and we're going to roll it out that way.
Okay. Now, what you want to end that conversation with is, and we will be, Lila, right? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Lila,
long E. Let's see, my mother was an English teacher. Okay, and Lila will be in touch with you to schedule a time that fits best for you. That's how this conversation ends. If you're rolling this out in your year-end meetings, John, I don't know if you want to get in. I don't want you involved in that process. If you want to have Lila come in and schedule a look with her calendar, that's fine. But I don't want you to be the scheduler. All right. Well, here is what you want to let them know. This is how you. I don't want to say hit the reset button on your practice, but this is how you let them know. We do a lot of things for clients, and they don't know what we do for them. They may want to refer you, but I wanted to be able to say more than John and Andrew and Will are really nice people. They've been doing this for a long time, blah, blah, blah. I want them to be able to specifically understand what you do for them. So here, do you have that, do any of you have that thing from last week, the points?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, all I'm trying to do is help you giving you some ideas on how to present what you're doing. I think it's important that they know you've established a minimum. John, would you guess that most of your clients know that you have a minimum?
Yes.
All right. It's good to reinforce them. A lot of times clients don't do that. Now, why do you have a minimum?
Because I can only handle so many people effectively.
You have a minimum for – you have to control the number of people in your practice. You're not the utility company. You don't have to run wire to everybody. You can only you can't deal with everybody. So you have to control the number of people in your practice. Part of that is having a minimum. And the reason you want to control the number of people in your practice, number one, you can never let the growth of your practice compromise the service you're giving to your existing clients. It's all about the client. I can never let the growth of my practice interfere, compromise the service I'm giving to my existing clients. Hard to argue with that. And the other reason that but you don't want them to hear that you're not taking new clients. The other reason that we have to control the size of our practice is we want to make sure we always have the capacity to bring on people who fit our ideal client model. You got that?
Yep.
All right. So as you meet with these people, I think it's important they know you have a minimum. I think it's important that you tell them what the service model, and as you know, the service model is monthly scheduled contact, four of those 12 are quarterly reviews, two are face-to-face, rapid response to any questions, problems, inquiries you might have with a 24-hour resolution standard, and then finally, multi-generational and fully implemented planning. A lot of people do planning. A lot of it is never fully implemented. I don't know if you've seen that around people that you work with, but it's a really important part of a practice like yours is to make sure people do what the plan calls for. Now, so it's important that they know you have significantly reduced the number of people in your practice. You haven't decreased the size of your practice. You've reduced the number of people. Again, the reason you're doing that is you can never you've got to create the time to be able to give the type of service that you want to you want to give them. It all fits together. So when you what I would suggest that you do is to get this script, bullet form or paragraph form, in your mind so you make sure that you get everything across that you think is important. Any questions on that?
Nope.
All right. I'm just going over my outline. So you're going to launch this practice when? When are you going to launch your service model?
End of year meetings and calls.
But when are the calls going to actually start?
They're starting. We've sent out emails today to get on the books for the next 30 days.
Okay, so you all will actually be making the calls in January. Your kickoff date is first of the year.
Yep. It's as soon as anybody I meet with, I'm telling them. So over the next 30 to 45 days, I'm going to meet or see anybody, and it's going to be done.
It could be as soon as next week if they accept the meeting and can make it due, but a lot of our clients are busy, so
yeah.
It'll be probably the next week or two we'll start meeting with clients, and we'd like to start articulating the changes or the refinements, as soon as then.
Yeah. We have done a lot of this stuff on our own. I mean, we have regular stuff, so it's not going to be a big change. We just have to articulate it better. And that's why we appreciate what you're doing.
Okay. Well, thank you. Here's the other thing. Well, a couple other things. You got two more minutes?
Yes.
Okay. As you are presenting these refinements, some of these things you're not implementing. You're going to continue to implement it. Like, you don't want the client to feel that you haven't been doing a lot of things for them to begin with. For example, you all are with your top 50 clients, John. You've probably covered them pretty well, correct?
Yeah.
As you're talking about your service model, I would say for the appropriate client, we are going to continue to offer rapid response and with the 24-hour resolution standard. That's nothing new. You understand what I'm saying, the difference between saying we're going to start and we're going to continue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's really on a client-by-client basis. Now, do you have – let's talk about the service model 12-4-2. I never want you to promise something you can't deliver. Do you have people that you cannot commit to see two times a year?
No.
Okay, all right. Andrew, do you have people, or Will, do you have people that you can't commit to seeing face-to-face?
I do not.
Okay.
Andrew.
Well,
Yes, Will probably does.
Well, then for those people, it's 12-4.
Right.
Just again, I don't want you I don't want you to overcommit.
So 12-4 is in 12 monthly calls and then 4 quarterly calls.
We have 12 scheduled calls. In those 12 are 4 quarterly reviews, and of those 4, 2 are face to face. So it's a total of 12.
Oh, I got
you. My point is, if you got somebody in Portland, Oregon that you don't see, I don't want you to committing to see them twice a year. For those people, it might be you would present your service model as monthly scheduled calls to include quarterly reviews.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes, sir.
All right. Anything? There was one other thing that I was wanting to small thing, and I can't remember what it was. I'll start with it next week. Anything any of you want to talk about? We covered today.
No, we're actually probably ahead of you. We just keep moving ahead. So we're usually I would imagine we're going to be prepared when you call us.
Well, that's been the case. That's been the case so far. Here's what I would like you to do for next time. I would like part of Supernova is having centers of influence, and I know that's acquisition, and we're not there yet. But I would like for each of you to bring to the call two people. I mean, names of two people who you think could be centers of influence for you. And I define a center of influence is someone who has given you referrals in the past or is in a position to give you referrals. They don't have to be clients.
All right.
And the other thing I would ask you to do is to bring to the call one basic belief of your team. If I ask you what your basic beliefs are, give me one. That'll be the beginning of putting together a very brief marketing piece that we'll do over a couple of weeks. Anything else?
Nope.
No, thank you very much.
All right, we'll talk in December.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.